The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
Welcome back to another episode of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. Today we have Paul Quintero from Axion on, and he's going to be talking to us about small business loans. And Gene, you had a story about this.
I know Axion well. We'll get into it with Paul and what those guys do and all that. But they provide like loans, micro loans and other bigger loans to small businesses. But I was in Chicago last year, and I think it was a Hartford related thing, but there was an event going on and there was a guy that was speaking at the event, and he was an Axion customer. And the guy, I remember him, he was like this big burly guy. He was awesome. And he ran, he had a food truck that did like barbecued ribs in Chicago. And so, you know, he's running a food truck and he needed to grow. He wanted to buy like two more food trucks. Business was going really, really good. And like banks weren't so crazy about doing business with the guy. And, you know, because he's a small business, right? We've all been there. And he went to Axion. And what Axion did is they said, okay, we can lend you X amount of dollars, which was great. However, let us work with you and we can get you better deals on the stuff that you want to buy.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so he like they went out with him and is the person from Axion. They helped him buy another truck. They helped him buy equipment. So for the, I don't know, the $20,000 that they lend him, he got way more bang for the buck than, you know, than just a typical bank saying, here's your check, now go and good luck and buy it. That's the kind of service that an Axion provides. And I thought that
and
was
really
impressive.
And banks aren't going to give you a $20,000 loan, but Paul's going to get into that.
Correct.
All right, so we'll be right back with Paul after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by The Hartford. When the unexpected strikes, The Hartford strikes back for over 1 million small business customers with property, liability, and workers' compensation insurance. Check out The Hartford Small Business Insurance at thehartford.com.
Today's question has no name and no location, and we don't know what kind of business they run.
This person's just embarrassed to be on our show. Yes. I think
so
that's what it is.
We're just going to make something up about them. Okay, so here's the question. I started my small business using my own money, but now I'm ready to scale up. I don't want to use my credit card and I don't want to get into too much debt. What are my options? Also, what's a good way to gauge how much debt my business can sustain? Is there a calculation? So, Paul, we're going to let you take a stab at this one and then Gene and I will jump in.
So, Axion is it's A-C-C-I-O-N. Correct.
Yep.
And and your website, you had told me before, was us.axion.org. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And we'll put all of this in the show notes.
Sounds good. So, you know, Axion is a nonprofit organization, right? But you do lend money to small business owners. And so is that, you know, is that what your primary role is?
It is. Our mission is access to capital and the business education that goes to that so you can succeed. And what I believe makes us different, particularly from the for-profit, is that support.
Right.
If money was the only challenge, we could all cut a check and call it the end of the day. But I think we all know that how you use that money is critical. And so we spend a lot of time educating people on that. We spend a lot of time working with individual owners to make sure that they're using it for their highest and best use. You mentioned earlier an example in Chicago where someone was looking for a loan and they were looking for equipment, but there were other solutions and other options that could maximize how that capital could be used.
Right.
That's one of the reasons that nonprofit lenders like ourselves are different. We care about the owner and their transformation and their growth, and we do a lot of things to support them because that's what our mission is about, which is very different than the private sector that, you know, wants to create the transaction, which is very good, no problem there, but won't necessarily be there to support you post the transaction on things that you may need.
So say I do want a loan. Now, first of all, if it's a small dollar loan, like a lot of businesses have, you know, they have $25,000 they need or, you know, something. I mean, for starters, I'm assuming that banks themselves, they don't like to lend to people of that, you know, for if I'm looking for that amount of money. Is that a fair statement?
It is a fair statement. We have heard, it depends on the market, but nowadays, you know, less than half a million or 500,000 or 250, it's just not cost effective. In some markets, less than $1 million is considered a small loan for some institutions. And so what's happened is the gap between what you need to get through tomorrow and what an institution can cost effectively provide you, because from their perspective, it costs them the same to issue $1 million loan as it does anything smaller, is huge. Mm. And therein lies the challenge, and therein lies the opportunity, and why we need to be there for those that are trying to take that first step or second step or third step, but are a long ways away from borrowing $1 million.
Got it.
From an institution.
So walk me through the process a little bit, though, Paul. So I'd say I am interested in getting a loan. Say I struck out at the bank. I don't even want the option of credit card financing. It's so expensive. How would I work with you? Walk me through the step-by-steps.
Absolutely. And depending on how you reach us, but let's assume it through the web. So what would happen is we have a very short one-page form that you start with where we get some basic information, and importantly, we do, if you have credit, need to pull your credit reports. That's where we start. That creates then either a situation where we know you're already eligible, or B, if you're not, because there's some real credit challenges, then it's an opportunity for us to actually walk through your credit report to look, here's some of the issues that you may or may not have been aware of that could be limiting your credit profile and how to improve those.
And I apologize for interrupting here, but when you talk about being eligible, say I'm starting up a business, or say my business isn't necessarily profitable, or say I wanted to, was looking for some financing for a home-based business. What makes me eligible for a loan? When would you get an application where you would be like, yeah, this person is definitely a good candidate with us?
So let's take the home-based, because we see and we've done a lot of, for example, daycare services.
Okay.
So if someone wants to start a business at home, this is a business that there's no real collateral.
Right.
And sometimes you're just beginning. So what happens is oftentimes there's some informal level of services already being provided, and someone's coming to us because now they really want to either create an addition, buy some equipment for the daycare center or the like. And so what we try to start with is a sense of what your business revenues and expenses are, but also on the household side. And that's something that folks often miss. When you're starting a business, I think, Peter feeds Paul and Paul feeds Peter. It's like what goes from one pocket to the other.
Right.
What we've learned is that the difference between business and personal is very blurred at that initial stage. And so we try to take, and our loan consultants work one-on-one with you to really understand both the household side of the equation and the business, because what we don't want to do is have you take on debt that's not sustainable.
Right.
So we need to understand that. In terms of eligibility, we have different programs and different types. De novo, meaning you're just starting the daycare. You can have a situation where you've already been in operations for several months. But one of the typical documents that we would look for is 3 months of bank statements.
Okay.
What we've learned is not everybody's a good bookkeeper, but the bank statements give at least a proxy for cash activity. And we use that plus the conversations we have with you plus what you may share in the short application to triangulate around what's really going on economically so that you don't have too much debt that you take on.
So when you're saying that, I'm assuming business owners come to you saying, well, this is what I need. But mm-hmm. Your conversation, I bet you, is bringing people down to earth and saying, well, this is really what you can afford, right?
Correct.
Based on your, not only your business, but like you said, your personal expenditures as well. You can service X amount of debt, and that's what we would recommend.
That's exactly right. And I think oftentimes that can be a difficult reality.
Yep.
But remember, we're a mission-based organization. We're going to tell you what we feel and what we see and what we've learned over almost 25 years, you can sustain, because it does no one any good for you to embark on something that could damage. We take a Hippocratic oath of lending.
Right.
Try to do no harm.
Yeah.
But you're exactly right. And the way you get there is by educating people on what they're earning. And I would say, as obvious as that may sound, most people don't actually understand where their money's going.
Yeah.
They might get the revenue, but they don't really understand all the expenditures. And I think when we're able to sit down with them and show them. One thing is to tell something to someone, but when you show them something, they see, oh, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then the focus on, well, how do I modify that? How could you not spend on this or that? Or how can you gain more revenue? Give them a focus that's really helpful and transformative, and also helps them understand how we're calibrating loan size to what their means can provide. And that's what we're trying to do, educate people on the relationship between your size of your business and the debt you can take on and then how to grow it.
How often do you give loans that don't require any collateral? You were giving the example of a daycare service.
Almost all of what we do doesn't require. I mean, when I say it doesn't require collateral, I mean, daycare, we do nail, beauty, barber, we do even things that have, quote, collateral. So if you're starting a food-related business, you might have, you think kitchen equipment, it's worth something because you pay for it. But our ability to sell it and monetize it, I would tell you that we do loans from as little as, I guess, $500 for those that are trying to start credit to as much as $250,000. And we break it into two categories. We call micro loans anything $50,000 or less, and small business loan anything above $50,000. Our average micro loan is about $12,000 in the United States, and our average small business loan is just under $100,000. In the $12,000 case, 90% of what we do is really unsecured in the sense it's not collateral. And that's because we're in a service world. That's what most people do, and so we're very comfortable with that. But it also means that we, and we've talked about this earlier, it's why we spend so much time understanding your cash flow. We want to make sure, okay, we're not going to lend based on collateral, but we need to lend based on your ability to repay, and we want to make sure that it's a comfortable level.
Did you know that increasing customer retention by as little as 5% can improve your profitability by as much as 75%? If you're looking to increase your customer retention and profits, check out Small Biz Ahead's new ebook, Keep Customers Coming Back for More. This ebook will teach you how you can use the reciprocity principle to increase sales, how to increase social proof to help drive customer interest, and why creating a fear of missing out can encourage customers to buy from you. Head over to smallbizahead.com and click the link in the show notes to download your free copy today.
You know, I think you've already answered this question, but just to make sure, if I'm looking for a loan from you guys, what should I do in advance? What kind of homework can I do to make sure that, you know, the process is as easy as possible and that I can get myself comfortable that I'm eligible for financing?
Absolutely. Well, let me talk about some conceptual preparation, and then if you really want to accelerate it, some documents that you could have ready. The conceptual preparation is, what do you need the money for? And it may sound obvious, but it's not often clear, or when you have that conversation, making sure that the use of funds is actually going to accelerate what you're trying to create or develop.
In other words, it's going to provide some type of return on investment, correct?
That's exactly right.
Right.
And I often hear this expression, oh, I have a problem. What's your problem? I need money. And I've always said, well,
I have that problem.
And that's the problem. But the problem really is the problem. Sometimes what you need is, I need a contract,
right?
Or I need to define my customer segment so I can sell more, or I need to hire someone. In that case, you can attribute it. But can you calculate, if you hire someone, what you're going to generate from that hire? And so I, the more you've thought about how the money can fuel your growth, the better. I like to say capital is like gasoline. You know, if you put gasoline in a little tank and you light it up, it just gives you a nice warm fire. But if you put it in an engine of a car that's been designed to move forward, you can really go places. That car concept is how you've thought about where that capital can be used to accelerate growth. So that's step number one. But then beyond that, having some awareness of your personal credit is important. So at Axion, we have a minimum 575 FICO score that we use because we have found that below that level, there are some significant credit challenges that have to be worked through, and we will help you do that. But we find that you're probably dealing with a lot of challenges that would make even a $12,000 loan very onerous, and
so,
we don't want to create that.
So, and again, with apologies for interrupting, so you have a minimum 575 FICO score. Where, and so obviously if I'm below that minimum, I really, you know, wouldn't want to be coming talking to you unless I just need some advice on how to improve it. Where do I go, first of all, to get my FICO score?
The FICO score is hard. I think the actual score, an official score, is a source called myfico.com, mm-hmm. where you can buy one. B, there are sources like Credit Karma that can estimate what your score is, and that's, I believe, or used to be a free service. Okay. But they take a profile. If you have credit, then some banks are now providing this because they realize that this is so valuable. So I'm aware of at least two, Capital One being one and JP Morgan Chase being another, but I'm sure others. But it would be good to ask your bank whether they provide a credit score, FICO score to kind of track that. But those are really... the only ways to find that score, so either estimated by some sources, provided by others, or you just buy, it's called myfico.com. Now, you can get free once a year your actual credit report, but it will not give you the score.
I see.
It will give you, you know, the history, and that's nice to look at, too, if you've never looked at it, but I think for practical purposes... the other options may be better. And if you don't have any, that's not a problem. I just share that, you know, when we pull, we'll be sharing not only the report with you, but going through that. So it's not a requirement, but it's always nice to know kind of where you stand. Beyond that, for most of our loans, 3 months of bank statement is really what we look for. And if you want bigger loans, then we will ask for a prior year tax return, because once you get beyond $25,000, you know, a little bit of history, you're probably at a bigger level of operation. You know, we'll want to have a little better sense as to where you're going from a cash flow perspective. Our process, just so you know, for that 12,000 loan in 2016 averaged 13 days. So from the time you apply to the time you get funded, and most of that time was waiting on that document, you know, the 3 months of bank statement. So if we had the statements, it'd be 6 days.
Right.
And we've done things in a couple of days. Depends on how ready, how clear the purpose is, but we try to work to do this as expeditiously as possible.
You know, one of the disadvantages of working with you, when I compare you to online lenders or to even credit cards, is it does seem to take more time, right? I mean, yep. Right, with a credit card, you know, you've been pre-approved, so you get the cash right away. If you go to the online vendors, the online lenders, those guys, that's what they do. They give you the money within 24 hours. But you certainly pay the price when you do that, way more expensive. And like you had said previously, you don't get the kind of consulting and support that you would get if you were working with a more of a service organization.
Yeah,
like yours.
I would think if I was starting a new business and I was a first-time business owner, I would strongly prefer to go with someone that was actually going to sit down with me, go through my financials, explain everything. Just getting a credit card, you're just getting the credit card in the right. mail, and they don't know what you're doing with it. So this sounds like a really good alternative if you really want that support. And Paul, you also provide other services to businesses. You do business consulting, right?
Well, what we do is we embed the education in the process, because what we learned is, first of all, we have a lot of partners in every part of the country that provide formal classes and education on all sorts of topics. So we work with the SCORE Center, the SBDCs, the Women Business Development Centers. We have nonprofits in many of the cities that we work in that work one-on-one and provide courses. But what we found is when you separate the course from the opportunity to leverage the information that you're teaching in that course, there can be large gaps. So the example I would give you is, raise your hand if you're listening to this podcast, if you took either calculus or algebra or trigonometry. You probably have a lot of listeners say, yeah, I took that. And then Let me ask, how many of you are using it right now? And so what happens is you have to do things at a teachable moment. So what we found is when a business owner is actually looking for capital, that's when they're most open to learning about options, learning about their personal credit, learning about the ins and outs of their business, learning about the options. And so we embed that, and we have found that that's been a more effective way to create a very important teachable moment, although we have partners that can do the more classroom setting or more formal education process if that's what someone's looking for.
Great.
Very cool. Paul, thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you
it's
so
a great
much.
Conversation. Again, it's Axion. It's us.axion.org.
We're going to include all of this information in the show notes so you know exactly where to go. And their website, they have a blog. They have tons of small business advice on there. So, and I feel like it's also, I think you did an event, Gene, at a community set. I think it was Reset in Hartford and Axion was involved.
Correct. And also in Chicago as well.
Yeah.
I did an event with Axion. They're excellent. And before I let you go, Paul, just, you know, being in the credit world, I mean, you know, do you consider this to be, if you're a small business looking for financing, and let's assume that you at least meet some minimum requirements of credit score and the ability to service, you know, some debt, do you think this is a good time to get capital?
If you are ready to use capital to grow your business, it's always a good time. The thing I would say, just to contrast, many of us had to do this work through the recession. What I've learned is it's not whether the economy is good or bad that matters. It's whether it's stable.
Right. Right.
Because with stability comes planning, and with planning, you can make some investment decisions. If you're at a point in your business development where you have a decision that you can make that will grow your business, what I believe is the economy is as stable as it's been in a long time. May not be growing the way we want it, but stable. And with that, you can do a lot of things. So, yes, it's a good time from that perspective. And if a few years from now we find that things sink, then I would say hold off.
Right, fair enough.
But premised on that you have a plan on how you want to use that capital.
Great. Paul, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for being with us. We're going to put, for the listeners, we're going to put all these links into the show notes so you can find Axion, you can figure out, you know, how they can help you and more, and a link to their blog. And we're happy to have you all join us today. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
All right. We will be back in a couple days with our next episode. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining Elizabeth and Gene for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. For the latest on small business trends straight from the small business experts, visit the Hartford Small Biz Ahead. We've got articles, how-tos, and videos to help you run your business more efficiently. Check us out at smallbizahead.com.